did Black Flag Damaged, and what did we even listen to on there?
Interesting guest musicians.
One, two, three. You're looking at a man that's getting kind of mad. I had a lot of luck, but it's all been bad. No matter how struggles dry, I never get out of this world.
Basement.
You are now listening to Basement Radio.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, listeners. You're listening to Basement Radio on Radio Valencia.
Oh, wow. I can hear you, actually.
Hey, it's nice to be heard, folks.
Is the studio equipment working?
Oh, my God. The fates are shining upon us today, that's for sure.
Something like that. Okay, so you are listening to Basement Radio. Every week, we watch a film. We don't do a show every week. Every 2 weeks, we do a show, and we review the last two films that we watched in our basement studio on VHS, exclusively on VHS. My name is Koopa. To the right of me is...
Mitsu Hotfire.
And then joining us today as very special guests, one with headphones, one without, we got Boney Maroney. Oh,
so good to be back.
Mm-hmm. And we got legendary retread Pisma.
Hello, everybody.
Let's see
Wait, wait, wait. I don't think I got Hello. Pisma.
Hello?
Oh, yeah, that no. One? That's
about that one.
Oh, no. Go. Hello? Nope, it's that one.
It's that Hello? One?
Yeah, I can hear you.
That's kind of there.
Yeah, okay. Oh, I was going to say, you got a radio voice.
You do have a radio voice.
Yeah.
I feel like every time you speak, I feel like I'm like waiting to be sold like a Chevrolet, like a Cadillac, or like a cigar humidor.
Can everyone shut up? Pesma, will you say something?
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you.
No, let him talk. I like it.
Goofa can't hear me.
It's just you have no levels, zero levels.
Oh. He's a mystery.
Mitz is like, I hear you in the room. My ears are working.
We can all hear you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll proceed as planned, I guess. We have no chat today, too, by the way.
Oh.
The chat bot is broken.
So we Mitz's spoke too soon.
Feature.
So we spoke too soon when we said that everything was working.
Oh, I just thought this wasn't maybe a popular episode.
No. You thought everyone just bailed.
Yeah, like, I was like,
it's all zeroed out.
Oh, all right. I don't know why I'm here.
It's like a noise show. Four people There's, playing.
Just the four people. Speaking of noise, so our theme this month is stoner horror. I floated a couple titles by Mitsu. He liked none of them.
What were the ones that
I thought
you floated?
Puff Puff Kill was pretty good.
Okay. Yeah. Why not, Mitsu?
Hard Pass.
What? And then obviously he advanced none of his own ideas. He just criticized mine.
It's a lot more fun that way, though.
Yeah. What was one of the other ones?
I don't remember.
I thought of one the other day. God.
Well, clearly it was worth remembering. So let's go.
It loosely tied to Hits from the Bong, but it was like. Never mind. This is starting off well.
Stoner horror works.
I forgot.
You know marijuana
short-term
effects.
Memory loss.
Yeah.
That's true. I read that somewhere.
Yeah.
So it's very much on point.
But you guys did find two movies to watch.
We did. We have a whole month of programming.
It's true.
So the first movie we watched was Idle Hands.
The 1999 cult classic phenomenon.
How about cult classic?
That's I think generous. It's a cult classic. Yeah.
I agree with you.
It's on the edge. It's very much...
It's definitely not.
I would go
it's
teen.
Not canon, but...
it's not canon for sure, but I would say that there is a healthy amount of enthusiasm for this film. Despite,
for some reason.
For many reasons. I mean,
What are those names?
First and foremost, any of those movies, anything that like predates... 9/11 within 1 or 2 years is automatically.
Wow, you're so obsessed with this. So you talked about this at the screening.
Yeah, because it's fascinating because it's such a clear, like, stark contrast, like culturally and just like sort of psychologically. It's a very fascinating thing because you just have a clear stop. You know, there was this momentum.
Like in what way? Do you think there's like an irreverence that got sort of like
tamed absolutely,
a
little absolutely, 100%. Because you had the 90s itself was
It's also mixed with like Y2K,
all this stuff. So you had all these really in like these all these sort of like sort of zeitgeist sort of moments that were happening, right? And in a sense, you can almost argue that the 90s. Well, there's no argument. I think we all agree that the last half of the 90s were just so. Like excessive in every possible way. There was no filter. There was no stopping any sort of idea or motion it was just the tackiest, most over bloated. It made the 80s look like fucking Amish times. Or
when
something.
We were watching it, I was really reminded of Santa's Sleigh.
Yeah.
It's kind of like there's this weird crossover there. It's like a proto American Pie movie.
Yeah.
Like it's so raunchy and irreverent, but also not clever, and it's not criticizing anything.
Yeah.
Like I think that's the stark contrast with the movie we watched this week, which was Classic Newcomb High. You can sort of like point to all these really silly moments in the movie, but they're all like pretty smart satirical takes on like Reagan era nuclear phobia.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas with Idle Hands, you're just like, oh, it's like all these things sort of exist in like an empty vacuum.
Sure.
It's actually more terrifying in that aspect. Like,
well, I agree.
The nihilism of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like this complete and utter abandon for anything even remotely resembling thought or empathy or. Anything profound. It's just a complete and utter lack of that. And you can almost say that we didn't realize how utterly vapid this time was. Like, at the time, we couldn't realize how stupid it was until this thing that happened in, you know, with the planes.
What thing?
I'm just saying, it's one of those things. It's almost as if...
When they became non-smoking.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Exactly.
Yeah,
it's almost like...
That was life-changing.
It's almost like, you know, let's just say hypothetically you have like a group of like guys go to like a city for a weekend. They do a bunch of drugs and go to strip clubs and drink and do all this debaucherous things. And then I'm just saying you don't realize how utterly like vapid and excessive it is until it's over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I get what you're saying. Okay, so looking back at this era of film, you think that this is like a particularly shallow period.
100%. So it's not the
deserves being celebrated.
I do. I think it's because it's like I'll be honest. The movie doesn't have any actual technical merits, but it's very much like, you know, let's just say, you know, finding a very embarrassing photo of yourself, you know, from 20 years ago. You're like, oh my God, this, I can't believe this was the person I was, but it's still interesting.
Okay. Well, one thing it does have is like star power.
Sure.
Yes.
And so let's talk a little bit about that. So the director, his name is Rodman Flender.
That's not a real name. That's not his name. I just made that up right now.
I swear to God, that's his real name. Born Rodman Flender. And I don't know. Rodman Flender kind of has chops. Like, so he made his debut with what they call in his IMDb profile a thriller, The Unborn, which I would argue is very much a horror film. Do you, have you guys seen The Unborn?
We have it, but I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's pretty good. I actually, I think I recommended it when we were going to do our pro-life month.
Which we're still very much considering. Because, you know, I mean,
choice. It's the dichotomy of pro-life and pro-choice.
Well, I think it's...
We wanted to represent that in a film theme.
You know, I mean, the way the world... We want to make sure that we are going with the zeitgeist of the time. And
Boney, are you pro-life or pro-choice?
You're pro-life, right? I think when I think of pro-life, the first person that pops in my head is Boney Maroney, for sure. I think he just, before you came here, I think you were
Oh, you're like one of those weird people. You're like, well, if it's the first 8 weeks.
look, I stand with women. I stand as tall and as firm as that new sculpture the end of Market Street.
I wish I had a drop sound, like a bloop.
So I think anything in terms of how people view me, I think that sculpture at the end of Market Street at the Ferry Building, I think represents my feelings. Yeah.
Your enthusiasm for pro-life.
I mean, I obviously, no. I stand with women.
Oh yeah. Oh okay. You're a feminist.
Yeah.
Just like Marco Rudione or whatever.
Just like that sculpture.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the end.
Wait, that's his name, Marco Rudione.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's always Italians. They're like on the.
Like the guy that made the sculpture?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Marco, I feel like every Italian name you're saying is just a made-up name. Yeah, it's a Rod Flenderson.
For real, Rodman Flender. So,
and Marco.
And Marco Brutini to me.
The reason I brought up Rodman Flender, not only is he the director of Idle Hands, a movie we watched as part of our stoner horror theme, but by the way, I want to describe our rationale for stoner horror. Okay? It is not necessarily that the characters in the film are stoners. Mm-hmm. It is also that potentially it's the kind of horror movie you watch when you're stoned. Okay. So it delivers kind of like low-level cheap tricks that are sort of like targeted at a stoner audience.
Okay.
So I think Idle Hands and Class of Newcomb High they're the more intertextual references, but then when we show our movie at the Four Star Theater in a couple
weeks. The glorious Four Star Theater.
We're going to watch Troll 2, and that's more of like, no one actually smokes weed in that movie. It's just like a stonery movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But anyway, Rodman Felder. Rodman Felder directed Leprechaun 2. I think you'll be surprised to hear.
Are you serious?
Which I would say is one of the gems of the Leprechaun. Leprechaun 2 might be my favorite.
Leprechaun 2. Is the best one.
No, hold on.
Leprechaun in the Hood is good. Oh, you really?
Yeah, we've talked about that. Because we hate Leprechaun.
Were you on the Leprechaun?
He was on the Leprechaun.
Yeah, I was. I talked about how much
you're the one who kept
it.
You're the one who kept playing that fucking Dropkick Murphy song.
Yeah, that's entire time.
I was like, bro, can you stop?
That seems appropriate.
I'm never going to stop. I'm never going to stop for Boston.
Yeah, but he went to Harvard University.
No, he didn't.
Rodman Felder. No, I swear to God, I was on the list of alumni at Harvard University. Yeah, it took me forever to find him. But it's because he was buried under the Harvard Lampoon. He wrote for the Harvard Lampoon. He's best friends with Conan O'Brien.
Whoa.
They came to New York together. They were part of... They did a musical portrait of this band called Upper Crust. He's written for a bunch of television series, including The Office, Ugly Betty, Gilmore Girls. But he got a start in horror. So after The Unborn, he did the Tales from the Crypt. He directed a bunch of episodes for HBO. And then he did Leprechaun 2.
Which Tales from the Crypt episodes did he do?
Oh, let me see if I can find that.
Dude, you are blowing my mind with Leprechaun 2.
Oh, it doesn't list the episodes, unfortunately. IMDb, get your shit together.
Seriously.
But anyway, here's the kicker. Do you guys want to hear the ultimate best part about Rodman Flender?
Yes, please.
Please.
He is the uncle, the blood uncle of Timothy Chalamet.
Shut the fuck up.
It was the best thing I've ever discovered.
Just making up.
No, Timothy and Pauline. In case you know Pauline Chalamet, she's on that.
Of course,
show
I know Pauline.
The Sex Lives of College Girls. I'm sure Danielle watches it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
shout out Danielle.
Yeah.
Hold on. Wait. What?
Timothy and Pauline Chalamet call Rodman Flender their unk.
That's fucking crazy. That is the most insane revelation I think ever made on Basement Radio.
Yeah.
Straight the fuck up.
Yeah, yeah.
Coolest guy in the family, this dude.
Rodman Flender?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cooler than Timmy? Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
Have you seen Complete Unknown? God.
Have you just seen his social media, like, have you seen?
I don't know. He is dating a Kardashian.
Okay, yeah, you are not helping your.
He's not making good life choices.
She's not the hottest one.
She is not the hottest one.
Why? No, who's the hottest Kardashian?
Fucking Kendall, bro.
You think Kendall's hotter than Kylie?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's weird. That tells me a lot about you.
Though. What? She's the hottest one.
Okay.
Why? What?
Why are we objectifying women? That has absolutely nothing. That has absolutely, as a feminist,
I'm sorry, this has absolutely nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Let's move on to something more concrete. This happens to be Jessica Alba's.
No, I miss Boney's like sound effects thing because man, we'd be going crazy right now.
I know.
So Jessica Alba plays one of the leads in Idle Hands across Devon Sawa. They're the romantic leads. This is pretty much romance Idle Hands, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Star-crossed lovers a little bit. Yeah. No, maybe not.
No.
I don't think the families give a shit.
Yeah, the families don't give a shit. The families are very absent in this film.
Yeah.
Well, nobody has parents.
Well, the first one. His parents die.
His parents get murdered.
His parents get murdered. Where the fuck are Jessica Alba's family?
His parents get murdered, and he's like, "What happened?
What happened?"
Why is that funny?
Fred Williamson.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fred Willard, not Williamson.
Fred Willard plays Mr. Tobias, which is Anton's father.
R.I.P. That's Fred Willard.
And Connie Ray plays his mom. Connie Ray looks familiar to me. But
yeah,
I couldn't place it.
She did look familiar. I don't remember.
Wow, research on Basement Radio is really going down the tube.
That's fine. We have a lot of. We have many.
It's a busy week.
It's IMDb's fault.
Yeah. Goddamn IMDb.
I'm just going to blame Anton the whole time. No, but do you guys have anything to say about Jessica Alba? Oh, I misspoke at the screening.
I have lots to say about Jessica Alba.
You start with that, and then you start talking again immediately.
I misspoke at the screening. She is not from the Bay Area. It's just really confusing because she's a diehard Warriors fan. Dub fan.
Dubs. I thought she was from the Bay.
Where is she from?
She is from Los Angeles, just like everyone else.
Oh.
Pomona.
Pomona? Gross.
Well, you know, she was born in Pomona, moved to Claremont when she was like 3.
Well, Claremont is just like right next door to Pomona.
Yeah. Claremont doesn't count as L.A.?
No.
She probably has a cool
Claremont. Calling Claremont L.A. is like calling fucking... It'd be like calling...
Palo Alto.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
it is the Bay.
It is.
I guess. Lowercase b.
If it's around the Bay, it's
I draw the line at San Jose. That's no.
San Jose is the last
it's like
bit
somewhere,
of the Bay.
It's honestly, yeah. It's like.
It's the daily city of the Bay.
It's like calling Santa Cruz the Bay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that's good. Yeah, that's a good description.
I don't think Santa Cruz is the Bay.
No. Santa Cruz is
the only people who think it's Santa Cruz from the Bay are the people from Santa Cruz.
But anyway, she started acting at 13 years old. She was in a film that was very pivotal.
Sounds right.
She was in a film that was pivotal for, I'm sure, a lot of us here called Camp Nowhere. You guys remember?
Oh, yeah. What's his face? Matt Frewer.
Yeah. And then followed that up with The Secret World of Alex Mack, another one that was maybe only popular with girls our age.
No.
Jessica Alba was on that show.
I watched Secret World of Alex Mack.
And then at the young age of 19, landed the Jim Cameron role of a lifetime, Dark Angel, which really cemented her fame. Dark Angel, I'm critical of this era of CWWB crap, and Dark Angel is legitimately a good show.
Did you
Buffy? Buffy's and Dark incredible. Angel are the ones that rose from.
I love Buffy. Buffy.
You know, is a big Dark Angel fan, Jess Sarah.
Is that right?
I wish we could get her in the chat because she would be going.
Wait, maybe it's working
right
now. Is it working now?
No, so where's the WB had Angel and Dark Angel?
I think Dark Angel came out after Angel.
This is Angel's a Buffy spinoff,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
David Boreanaz.
David Boreanaz.
Is it Boreanaz or Borneas?
It's Boreanaz.
Boreanaz.
Yeah.
That's where I get my nickname from.
Boreanaz?
Yeah, that's where Boney Maroney, I just used to like get really drunk and watch Angel, and I'd... That's how I said it.
Classic pro-lifer.
But I had a really hard time placing Jessica Alba's career. Like, so Idle Hands is 1999, right?
Yeah.
But, like, in my mind, like, all of this stuff kind of happened before that. Mm-hmm. But this is, like, a very early role for her.
Yeah.
So, like, so
Dark Angel was after Idle Hands.
So, yeah, so she's a kid, and so she's got Camp Nowhere. Then, now I'm just on her films, like ignoring Dark Angel for a second, but Camp Nowhere, then she's in a movie called Venus Rising, Punks, which I kind of remember that VHS cover. It was like P-U-N-K-S, an acronym. You remember that one?
Maybe.
It was like a kids kind of movie.
Okay.
And then Never Been Kissed, she's in that. She's she's like kind of like the mean girl to Drew Barrymore. And then Idle Hands is 1999. So that's really early on. And then Honey is after that. Honey is 2003.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So to me, like, Honey was her breakout role.
Yeah.
But we had already seen her a few times.
Wait, wasn't she on, like, Flipper or something?
She's in this... you're thinking of this, this movie with Paul Walker called Into the Blue.
No, but she was on a show called Flipper. She was on, like, on the Flipper...
That's a show. I'm just talking films.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's on Flipper. She's on Secret World of Alex Mack, Flipper, Beverly Hills 90210. She's
did
like
they
a guest
reboot
star on the Dark
Flipper?
Angel.
Yeah, with her.
Mm.
Wow.
She's on 44 episodes. She's like a main star.
Those 44 episodes of a Flipper reboot.
Yeah.
That's news to me.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
And then
after Honey comes like the Jessica Alba sort of mainstay of her career, which is like Sin City, Fantastic Four, Into the Blue.
Now, okay, so I remember because I was very much I had a crush. I mean, we all had crushes on Jessica Alba.
Let's get that out.
Let's get that out of the way.
Did you see that coming at all? Mexican?
That she's like half Mexican, half German, or something.
No, dude, just Mexican.
No, there's
well,
something
she's
else
like Mexican and like and Jewish, but she was on that show where they like do your.
She had like a bunch of other ethnicities in there.
No, but you know that show?
Yeah, the PBS one?
Yeah.
Like the bloodlines or some bullshit. Yeah.
Dude, it was hilarious. She was traced to like ancient Mayan blood lineage.
I mean, I know she's Mexican, but I thought she was Mexican and like something else.
I gotta say, I was thinking Filipino the whole time.
No, I thought she was like fucking... Hold on.
Is that racist?
Yes.
No.
For the record, yes.
Maybe it was the Daily City thing. But like...
Be careful what you say now.
That is going too far. I'm going to edit that out. So there's the... So she does kind of have... And that's what's weird. I always saw her as like a horror film kind of... You know, like roots horror film person, but she's actually kind of like a later career horror film person because it's not like till the late aughts like that you get like The Eye, which was kind of a big role for her, and Valentine's Day, and she was in Michelle.
Valentine's Day. Which one is that one?
That's the one where it's like.
I don't think I know that one.
It's like it's a horror movie.
Well, because I know Valentine with our boy David Boreanaz.
Oh. I don't think she's in that, though, right?
Okay.
Dave Boreanaz.
Anyway, and she's in, like, she's in one of the Japanese horror remakes. I can't remember which one. It's not The Grudge.
No,
it's like,
I know what you mean. Yeah. Is it Pulse or something like that?
I think it's
Pulse.
Yeah, it might be it.
It's one of those.
Anyway, Jessica Alba, you guys want to talk about someone else?
No.
Devin Sawa?
Okay, real quick.
Yeah.
What's she up to?
Okay.
Because I know what she's up to.
Oh, wow.
She's selling jeans, right?
No, she sells like... She can sell anything.
That was very well timed.
She can sell anything. Let's just get that out of the way.
Okay, all right.
But I know for a fact that she has a business. She's semi-retired because she started her own like all-natural like child shampoo company.
Oh, that's what you got to do.
Right? It's like a cleaning product for kids, but it's like all natural. And she's like, I think she's actually a billionaire at this point.
What?
Yeah, look it up. Like, she is like either a billionaire or pretty goddamn close to just from her fucking her care products.
So she went like the Ryan Reynolds route of like
like way less obnoxious.
Wait, what? Oh, with the aviation gen,
or just like you know like
Mobile.
Huh?
Mint Mobile.
Yeah, Mint Mobile.
Okay, it's called the Honest Company.
That's her.
Yeah.
Never they trust better them. Never have a scandal ever. Yeah, ever.
They'd have to immediately close.
Yeah. That's what it
she
is.
She had a gene company, too. I'm almost positive.
Or is it LEI? And like, in my mind, Jessica Alba is the official spokesperson for LEI jeans.
All right, we gotta get up. We gotta talk about the other sexy actor in this film.
Seth Green?
Oh no, sorry, not Seth Green. You're talking about obviously Eldon Henson.
Oh yeah, Eldon Henson, the hottest. Yeah.
He's a little cutie.
Dude, I can't believe
he's part of that whole Jason, John Taylor Thomas, whatever the fuck
he is. JTT Jonathan.
He's part of all three Mighty Ducks movies.
Yeah.
He's in the third one?
Yeah. Cutie patootie, wait, that one.
Which guy?
He was the tough guy.
That's the guy with his head cut off, where he's the headless.
He's like the street tough in the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah. He won my heart in SLC Punk.
He's the bruiser.
Did you guys see him in SLC Punk?
Wait, he's in SLC Punk?
Oh, hell yeah.
No, you're thinking of Devin Sawa.
Oh, I am. Sorry.
Okay, we can talk about Devin Sawa.
I guess.
But wait, he's the male lead in Iowa.
He's the male lead in Iowa.
That's what I'm talking
about. We were talking about the guy with his head cut off.
The kind of chubby guy.
We were joking, Bonnie.
Yeah. Sorry.
It was a joke. We joke a lot on the show.
I was too locked in.
That's what you get for being a pro-lifer.
Devin Sawa, he's a Canadian. Born in Vancouver. Kind of explains a lot, actually.
Yeah, actually, really does.
What do you want to say about Devin Sawa? He's attractive.
Yeah, no, he's just a little cutie. I just loved him in SLC Punk.
Well, Devin Sawa famously got a start as Casper.
Yeah.
He was Casper. Yeah. He's Casper.
Yes. Yeah.
He's Casper. Ow. And then that's in 1995. Then he's also in Little Giants, actually. That's pre Casper.
Oh, that is such Little a Giants. Good fucking movie.
Dude, Little Giants is good. I don't connect with it as much as you do because you played football.
I played football.
But so I like the baseball movies better. Yeah. But SLC Punk comes pretty soon after that, 1998. He's pretty young.
I was always wondering whether Idle Hands was pre-SLC Punk.
It's just 1 year. SLC Punk's just the year before. And then Idle Hands. And this Idle Hands kind of launches his career because he does Final Destination right after.
Yep.
Like directly after. And then nothing.
Ever again.
He did something else. What else did he do?
He's done such garbage after that. You want me to tell you? The Guilty? What is that? Slackers? That's that dumb movie with Jason Schwartzman.
Oh, God.
And then,
didn't he just become, like, a fucking burnout? Like, a drug addict burnout?
No, here's what's happened. The Hollywood elite tried to, you know...
I see. So he was...
Oh, he set up in some furniture?
He got Weinstein'd, is what I'm saying. Oh, I think he got blacklisted.
Oh!
Play the game. Show up to a Hollywood...
He's in the Black Friday remake.
Oh, well, then he's fine.
Okay, so I just watched a movie. Can we talk about it briefly? I'm sorry to derail our radio show.
You almost said podcast.
I said it, but then I puked in my mouth a little bit. Like,
before we get back to a podcast.
No, but I was watching this movie because... Okay, so I listened to this other... The reason I said podcast is because I listened to this podcast. It's called Blank Check with Griffin and David. It's pretty good.
Okay.
Highly recommend. But they do... They do director series. It's like, so a director has a big hit and he gets written a series of blank checks after that and they either bust or, so it's kind of an interesting topic. And and the crazy thing about it is it's very successful, but the format of it, I think, is like sort of anti-success. Like, they'll do Steven Spielberg. They've been doing this motherfucker for like 10 months because he's got like... a million movies.
Right.
So they do the whole filmography.
Of Steven Spielberg?
Yeah, dude, it's Jesus absurd. Christ. So every episode. Anyway, but so they did, they have a guy.
Even 1941?
They did 1941, yeah.
Good
They split it into two parts. Like they broke it up with the David Lynch one.
Nobody likes 1941.
I like 1941.
But anyway, it's a great show. Highly recommend it. If they ever want to, you know, be on our show or vice versa, they have way more famous guests than us. No offense. But anyway, they have this guest on who directed his own movie. And it was his first movie, and it's this movie called Hard Eyes. Have you guys heard of it?
Oh, I really want to see Hard Eyes. Wait, did you saw it?
I saw it. It's fucking trash.
Right.
Now they're never going to do our show. But it's so fucking bad. It's like Gen Z fucking nonsense.
Is it worse than I Saw the TV Glow?
It's worse in the way that it's very, like, referential, whereas at least I Saw the TV... The only thing positive thing I can say about I Saw the TV Glow is it's not, like, trying to be another movie.
I see.
It's just, like, completely lost in trying to be its own original.
So is Hard Eyes one of those, like, oh my god, what's gonna happen next? A fucking mass killer's gonna get us?
Yeah.
And then the mass killer comes out
exactly,
and
kills it? Exactly, yeah. It's like Scream to the 25th degree, where everything is so meta. It's, like, absurd. But anyway, the great cameos in it are Devon Sawa, who nobody had seen in 20 years, as the detective investigating the slasher case. Have you guys seen this trailer?
Uh-uh.
It's like there's a killer going around and he has like heart-shaped
heart
eyes. Eyes.
Okay.
Yeah.
As like a
and
mask.
This just came out.
Yeah, it's a new slasher film.
I really want to see.
I had heard good things.
How he's doing.
Devon Sawa, and then the other detective, his partner is Jordana Brewster.
So hot.
Yeah. So they pulled in some cult legacy.
I was hoping you were going to say Tony Todd.
No, Tony Todd's on it.
You know what's funny is I saw a movie poster the other day, and it's the advertising is for the new Final Destination series. They're rebooting it. And it's called.
Do you know anything about it?
I don't know anything about it. The only thing I do know is that the poster for it, it's called Final Destination Bloodlines, but the poster itself says, advertised on the poster itself, the last appearance of Tony Todd, a.k.a. Candyman. What I find hilarious is Tony Todd's last film is Final Destination. His Final Destination was Final Destination.
That's pretty good.
Just a little on the nose there is all.
Talk about meta.
Oh, one thing I wanted to talk about was, like, what did you guys think of the Idle Hands music? Because we have some music scholars in the room.
I don't know. It was very of the time.
I unapologetically and unironically love that era of The Offspring, so just going to say that right now.
Really? Unironically?
Yeah. I definitely loved The Offspring at one point, and I enjoyed those memories.
That era. I mean, I still love it. It still warms my heart.
Oh, that first album is pretty good. That song.
Are you talking about
Beheaded, which is off their very first album.
Ignition.
Mm-mm.
Well, their first album is Ignition. It's Ignition and then Smash.
Can I just tell you how embarrassed I am that you guys know the names of Offspring albums?
I'll double down on this so you feel like an outsider.
Self-titled predates Ignition?
89, yeah.
I'm gonna look this up.
Yeah, Smash was my introduction.
You're right. Okay, I'm sorry.
Introduction. And I fucking loved it. Like, that was the album that I listened to on my CD player, being like the grumpy, like, prepubescent kid grumpy that they're on vacation in California from Detroit. You know, like driving around and being really grumpy, and then I like looking out and listening to Offspring being all like brooding in the back of my car.
Okay, also, can we just talk about the fact that the Offspring, at least in my memory, like in my visual memory as a child, first time I saw a ball chain necklace.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because I think the first time I saw a puka shell necklace was on Devon Sawa.
Okay, I have that same memory too. Wait, what movie are we thinking of?
I think it was just a movie poster or something. I don't know what movie it is. I'm sure that I'll look and see. But I remember him with the short bangs that were like gelled down to oblivion, puka shell, and a white like undershirt.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So emblematic.
Well, yeah.
But if you could represent Idle Hands by anything, it would be the metal bead necklace.
Yeah. Metal bead necklace and the long sleeve shirt under a t-shirt.
Yep. Yes.
Yep.
That's very much in there.
Yeah.
Doc Martens on girls.
Yeah.
It's a little thing.
I saw a girl the other day literally wearing the beaded necklace thing, t-shirt with the long sleeves.
It's back.
Gen Z loves it.
It's so crazy. Oh my god. What the
fuck? Do you want to play some music from Idle Hands?
I'm gonna fucking play some Offspring.
Play Offspring, please.
I'll play Beheaded, yeah.
Okay. Just in case we didn't have it. Few enough fans.
I was just sad that the only time I saw Offspring live was at Woodstock 99, and it was in that like pretty whatever for a white boy.
Pretty fly for a white guy.
That era. Is already out.
Yeah. I watched them perform Pretty Fly for a White Guy live.
I did.
Yeah.
Not at Woodstock.
So embarrassing.
I was about to be like, were you at Woodstock 99?
Right. Will you please play anything except that song? Like, that's the only one that I can't stop.
Yeah, please not.
No, I'm not going to play that. I'm not going to play that. I'll play Beheaded, though.
Yeah.
All right, Beheaded by The Offspring. Off The Offspring. I'm sorry, I stand corrected. My mistake. So here we go.
I know, pop, pop.
You're listening to Basement Radio. Every week we watch a VHS film in our dingy basement.
Dingy dungeony.
You can tell by Koopa's enthusiasm that he was just really hyped up by The Offspring's Beheaded.
Oh,
the
I love that song.
He tried to start a little mini mosh pit in here.
I did, yeah.
It was pretty exciting.
Oh, by the way, I watched this movie on Netflix. It was called The Life List. Have you guys heard it?
What is that?
Uh-huh. It was like how Netflix is the new Hallmark.
Yeah. Yes. I think that
yeah. So they have all these movies where like a girl moves to a small town, or like, you know, she's a New York City busy girl,
yeah,
and her mom's dying of cancer, so she has to like move back home to her childhood home, and then she meets like a sexy lumberjack and, you know, all that shit. This one is like her mom dies and she leaves her a list of things that she, like one of those time capsule things,
sure,
like
right,
the things I want to do when I'm older.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she does them as an adult, like her childhood dream of herself.
Aww.
And why did I bring that up?
Why did you watch
it? You said something about, I'm assuming something punk rock happens in her mom's
Goes, one of them is to be in a mosh pit.
All right, who here's been in a mosh pit?
me.
Yes.
I mean, what? What question is that?
Who's been in a mosh pit?
I think you'd be hard pressed to find someone our age who hasn't.
That's a good point. Yeah. The longest I've ever been crowd surfing was during a Green Day concert. Like, I went crowd surfing, and I tried to get down, and they wouldn't let me.
I've never been surfed. I've never crowd surfed.
Oh, wow.
It's a lot of fun.
It's funny that you brought it up. Green Day is my most successful concert I've ever been to.
What does that mean? What is a successful concert?
I sang nothing.
What?
Do you know that? Do you guys know that at every Green Day concert, they sing nothing, the Hop Ivy song?
Yeah.
I sang nothing on stage.
Oh, on stage.
All I know is that I don't know.
Oh, yeah. That's exciting. Yeah. That's pretty good.
I want to find that video.
We have to find it.
That Warped Tour at San Francisco is like Pier 30 whatever. God.
By the way, the Warped Tour is coming back, folks, just in case you didn't know. If anybody wants to relive 1999 again.
VH1 documentary on Woodstock 99 where you can see my head for like 5 seconds.
Oh, yeah. It was funny. It's funny as hell.
But if there's video of you singing on stage with Green Day,
everyone in the chat,
if this
also, the really strange thing is that I wasn't really a Warped Tour kind of kid, so I'm like full raver gear singing nothing on stage.
But that was like the era. It was very crossover.
Yeah, well, that's why I went to Warped Tour, because Chemical Brothers played
it.
I went to Warped Tour 1 year, and I saw Eminem live.
Wow.
He was booed off stage after 3 songs.
Mm.
Like, literally, like, they would not stop booing him and throwing shit. So I think I literally heard like 2.5 songs. And then he was like, you know what? You know what, Callie? Go fuck yourself. And he flipped off the stage and just walked off. That was fun.
So are we going to do a music podcast eventually? More of like a sad dad. Like,
I remember
concerts that I used to go to.
Back in my day, we didn't video everything.
Warped Tour the podcast.
Warped Tour the podcast. That sounds kind of amazing.
No, but speaking of like awkward teenage punk, pop punk kids. So Seth Green is also in Idle Hands.
Oh, yeah.
He's kind of like very much like the...
He was the poster boy for that era.
Really? Like, and what's weird about that, like, I like that you said that, because what's weird about that is normally the poster boy for an era is a sex symbol.
Yeah.
But Seth Green was very much positioned as a non-sexual...
entity.
Yeah, like entity. Or at least a unsuccessful...
I know, amazing, but I knew...
I Can't Hardly Wait, the entire movie...
He was the running joke that can't get laid,
right?
I got to get some tonight or some shit. What did he say? Something he did his no. That's what
no,
he
that
said.
Was actually pretty good. Because
like, oh, I got to. He like every time he's doing his like black voice thing. Like, I got to get me some tonight.
This is a weird little quick side note, but anyone that's interested in really seeing the true like id of that character is to watch Not Another Teen Movie, and there's an actor in that that's just doing the even more boiled down version of Seth Green's character.
See, that's so weird because that's where I feel like those movies really miss.
Yeah.
Is because Can't Hardly Wait is, at least in my opinion, is already obviously a satire of a teen film.
Right.
So it's so weird. Like, Not Another Teen Movie. Those ones always missed me.
However,
because I was like, you're parodying a parody.
Yeah.
Like, or Scary Movie. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, Scary Movie, like, Scream.
It's a satire.
Yeah. It's like a meta film of a slasher film.
But that's the thing is, like, those parody movies used to be actually genuinely incredible and super brilliant, like Airplane, Hot Shots Part 2, not Part 1, Hot Shots Part 1 is whatever.
Shout out to Liam Neeson for the new Naked Gun movie.
I'm really excited about it.
Have you seen that trailer?
Yeah. It's so good.
There's an OJ joke in the fucking trailer.
Just the fact that they were like, what sounds like Leslie Nielsen?
Yeah.
That's where they started.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's no other connection.
Yeah. Leslie Nielsen.
Just that first shot of the Girl Scout, I was like, this is incredible.
I'm sold. Yeah. Please give me all the fucking lampoons.
As soon as those tickets go on sale, we are buying. If it's in fucking IMAX or 4DX, I'm so down.
Also, just because I'm like, and I'm not saying it won't work, but like, I'm just... I'm insanely curious about how to translate humor like that into 20. It's like an impossible task.
I know, yeah. Which
it's either going to be fucking brilliant or like completely tank. Like, how do you do?
Either way, humor it's not like going to be boring.
Yeah, sure. Either or, it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be like the Megalopolis of National Lampoon film.
I love, by the way, I walked by Cafe Zoetrope the other day. You know how they always have like all the Coppola-related film movie posters along the wall, like on the outside of the cafe? All of the posters are only Megalopolis. All of them.
Mm.
So they're like 20.
He probably forced them to do that.
He did. It's fucking hilarious. He's like, man, fuck them kids. Because he had his other kids' movies on the wall, too.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, all the Gia and Sophia.
Yeah, all the Gia and Sophia movies were like, you know, peppered in between his stuff, but fuck them. All Megalopolis.
No, but here's the weird thing about Seth Green, right? Like, he... Well, one thing I want to point out is that since Idle Hands, the most successful career of anyone in this film.
Oh, for sure.
Like, right? Yeah, yeah. Mostly because of Family Guy.
And Robot Chicken.
Yeah, and Robot Chicken. But then also, like, before Idle Hands, the most successful actor in the film. So, like, he's playing a side character.
Yeah.
But he's the one who's been... The little brother in Can't Buy Me Love, which I'll never forget that role. I just think he's fucking perfect at it.
Yeah.
I think that movie is fucking perfect because it's silly in a weird way that all the other sort of adjacent John Hughes stuff doesn't really manage to capture.
Yeah.
And Patrick Dempsey's like a perfect lead. Anyway, Can't Buy Me Love. We'll do another show.
Great movie.
But then he's like,
Austin Powers.
Dude, Austin Powers is before Idle Hands. Yeah. That blew my mind.
Yeah, Austin Powers.
That's surprising.
The first Austin Powers came out in 96?
97.
97.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because my first introduction to Seth Green as a young rollerblader was, what the fuck was the name of Airborne?
I really wish I had a sound effect for what
Airborne.
You said.
So Airborne is the same year as Arcade, which we did on the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, Airborne's a good call.
I got an early introduction.
He's Wiley.
Seth Green. Yeah. Always plays a little bit similar of a character.
Yeah.
Always trying to do good, but he's got that horn dog in him.
Yeah. But, sorry, I'm just still derailed the fact that you had to squeeze in the rollerblader. Just it kind of.
I'm not here a lot.
He I'm does
a pro-life rollerblader. I gotta make sure.
I hear Danielle signing the divorce papers as I speak.
Dude, can you imagine the pro-life rollerblading sponsored team?
Oh my god! Unbelievable.
Like, I want to put together a list of people that would be on it.
You could do Senate.
Oh yeah. Uh huh.
It's political.
We shouldn't joke about this stuff, you guys. Serious problems. Wait,
Senate?
You don't remember Senate?
The company?
They were like a rollerblading company.
Oh, my God.
Senate was the cool company.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It really was
the cool company, and still it's like barely there. It's like a whisper.
Was this symbol kind of like a weird Iron Cross looking thing?
No, it wasn't an Iron Cross. It was kind of like a oval Superman S.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like really so sniffly.
Yeah.
So after Austin Powers is Can't Hardly Wait, and then Enemy of the State, he's the guy in the van.
Oh, that's right.
That's before Idle Hands. Does that make any sense?
He was the hacker.
Yeah, he's
guy.
The guy in the van.
Oh,
guy
my
in the
God.
Chair.
Yeah, sorry. The guy in the chair. I forgot.
Yeah.
I want to know more of Seth Green's backstory. Is he like was there like a Nepo in there? Like, what is he just like a random dude from somewhere?
Well, he's from Pennsylvania, so I don't think he's a Nepo baby. But he's.
How do you get that start? That's what I want to know.
No, he's like, completely self-made, dude. I mean, like, he, like,
for him.
His parents are like teachers. He was like, you know, you want to hear something that will explain his entire career to you?
Yeah.
As a young kid, his jam was like Monty Python, Blackadder, Richard Pryor, Porky's, Caddyshack.
Yeah.
So those are the things that shaped him.
He's a
and it makes perfect
boy.
Sense.
Yeah.
Just like total, you know, like like smart, gross out, satirical humor.
He's a ham.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And really like I'm super impressed with his career. I never really like thought about it, but he's actually kind of a gem.
He's kind of a mogul. At
every, every keystone moment of like media throughout, I would say our generation, mm-hmm. for the most part, he's had some like major pillar moments. So it's like
I can't really
you got Idle Hands, but then even on TV, you got Buffy.
Yeah. The thing is, he's so consistent. He's been consistent for decades. Yeah. Like, I can't really think of anything that he's ever done where, like, that was fucking awful. Everything is, Malibu's nothing has been, like, extraordinary. Huh?
Malibu's Most Wanted.
Oh, yeah. Oh no.
That's Jamie Kennedy.
Fucking hate Seth Green.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
You've been holding this?
You've been holding
this? I was shocked. Listening to
that. Voice of dissent. Let's go.
Elaborate.
Please.
Malibu's Most Wanted. I don't
know. No, that's Jamie Kennedy. Wait, that's Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah.
No, he's in it.
No, is he really?
I don't think he may be in it.
Oh, is he not in it?
No, it's Jamie Kennedy.
You hate Jamie Kennedy.
I hate Jamie Kennedy.
Everybody hates Jamie Kennedy.
Nobody likes Jamie Kennedy.
If for no other... I cannot detract from what y'all said about Seth Green, but if for no other reason, Family Guy.
You hate Family Guy.
I fucking despise... That show...
Wow.
Is like... That show sucks. I'm sorry.
I think
it's like the worst. That ruined television.
I agree with you. I was just about to say that. Ruined, I think it's like, this pivotal moment where there's so many intertextual references that there's almost like nothing original about it.
Yeah.
Like the entire show is like winking to something else.
The punchline joke format was very much tainted by Family Guy. I will agree to that.
Yeah.
Quick question though. What came out first? Family Guy or Anchorman?
Hmm.
I don't know. I don't think I ever saw
it. I'm going to say Family Guy.
I think Family Guy might have come out at the same time. But that style of comedy definitely has ruined more things than it's improved. I'll give you that.
I was never a fan. I did see Anchorman, but I never saw like 40-Year-Old Virgin is one of like the worst things I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
I'm sorry, understanding your taste here.
Yeah. Like that whole era. I was not watching comedy.
You're not a Will Ferrell fan.
He's all right, Steve Carell is fucking like The Office, like that. Like the original Office was great.
Yeah,
everything Steve Carell does sucks.
Interesting. Wow. Okay,
he was great.
What about his starring role with Ronald Feldner's nephew? You know, the one where he plays a heroin addict.
No.
Oh yeah. Is the son a heroin addict or is Steve Carell?
Yeah, Timmy Chalamet is the heroin addict.
We bring it all back. It all comes back around.
It's called like My Boy or something.
No, I didn't see that one.
And you know, at the end, where Steve Carell goes, "My Boy,
My Boy." I don't know. Steve Carell's done some great. I can understand.
What has Steve Carell done?
What amazing! He's really great as the backup on Daily Show.
No, he was great. Look, yo, have you not seen Fox Hunt? Fox Hunt is really good.
He plays
like the autistic wrestling coach who murders one of his he was fucking great in that.
That's what that movie's called.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
Foxtrot.
I watched the documentary about that, but
he was great in that. What about The Big Short? Did you like The Big Short?
I literally don't watch Steve Carell.
Okay,
fair. Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know anything that he's in.
Also, just to be fair, I think Adam McKay ruined fucking filmmaking.
Well, if you have to stop the movie to have a famous person tell you what's going on.
That's his shtick.
That is called failure.
It's usually a problem.
I will say that I do like
he's
some...
He's like Martin Scorsese, but he hasn't figured out how to tell a story. I think it's more jaded than that.
I think he honestly has a vision that people are the dumbest motherfuckers on the planet.
I will say Don't Look Up is one of the least funny things I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
Like, embarrassing.
All of his movies are so on the nose.
I really like Vice.
But also, I like On the Nose, but it's on the, like, you play with it. Like,
yeah,
On the Nose can be fine,
yeah.
Right.
But he rides this sort of banal middle ground where it's not quite enough in one direction, so it's just sort of this vague, like, obviousness throughout the entire movie.
Yeah, it's totally like there's no subtlety. That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that he's
you just
subtle.
Get like I would say that like the Adam
let's just spend the rest of the time shitting on Adam McKay.
The Adam McKay stuff like
Piss Moss all on board.
like
still got that, to say about Seth Green.
I think that everything that Adam McKay wants to be is epitomized in Wolf of Wall Street. And I think Wolf of Wall Street is great. Like, I actually am a fan of that movie.
It's incredible.
But it's not my favorite Scorsese.
What?
Incredible?
Yes, it is.
No,
Wolf of Wall Street
But it's not
incredible.
My favorite Scorsese.
No, not at all.
And so to me, to be at your best, an imitation of Wolf of Wall Street is like, damn, dude, your career sucks.
You know what? Like, I think, okay, that's fair. And actually, I agree with that. But that doesn't mean I don't enjoy those movies. They're not art. They're not cinema by any measure. I do find Vice and The Big Short entertaining. Don't Look Up is fucking garbage. Anchorman, when I was younger, when I first saw it, I thought it was incredible. But then I watched it again.
I love the knife fight, dude. I love the street fight.
No, I mean, what Will Ferrell, his online thing was great. When it's like 20 minutes of him, that's
yeah. Oh, his what? Funny or Die.
Yeah, just to be clear, it's not about whether it's like I think it's art or I think it's low brow.
Oh, yeah.
Brow. I just can't fucking stand.
Oh, that's fair.
Fair. Totally
like,
fair.
Yeah. It's like nails on a chalkboard.
Mm-hmm. Totally fair.
Seth Green, I understand his place in the zeitgeist. He doesn't ruin movies for me. But
so you don't like Robot Chicken?
Fuck no.
Wow. I kind of
I like Robot Chicken.
A1.
Wow.
That ruined my... Because I didn't have a TV till I was a teenager. Like, we didn't have... And for a very short time,
okay,
late night Comedy Central and Cartoon Network was great. And then Robot Chicken came out.
Right. Okay. I will say this about Adult Swim. Yeah. Robot Chicken fucking ruined Adult Swim.
Yeah.
100%. It was like all of a sudden just like 9 episodes in a row of Robot Chicken.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of Robot Chicken. It is excessive. They definitely oversaturated for sure. No denying that.
But my final statement on all those movies, I think they're all perfectly acceptable to watch on an airplane.
Sure. Not Don't Look Up. I can't watch Don't Look Up.
I can watch Don't Look Up on an airplane.
There's different rules on an airplane.
I don't even think it was released on airplane. Was it a Netflix movie?
You know what I want to see? I want to see the first straight-to-airplane movie. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
When is that going to happen?
Should have been Flight Plan.
It should have been... Dude, oh my God. I tried to watch that fucking shit. It's fucking insane how bad it is.
Yeah.
I think it has... It suffers from the same treatment that... What was that garbage?
A Working Man?
Yeah. Oh.
Dude, so we watched a Working... So we went on this trip recently for all the audience out there. By the way, you're listening to Basement Radio. Every let me get through it. Every week we watch a film from our VHS collection. None of the films we're talking about are those films. We watched Idle Hands the first week of this monthly theme called Stoner Horror, Puff Puff Kill, if you will.
If you will.
And this week we watched Classic Nukem High, but we did take a brief interlude in between those two things.
Kind of
where we went to a friend's birthday party,
mm-hmm,
and we watched A Different Man at the Lloyd Center in Portland, Oregon.
Yep.
And let me tell you, the Lloyd Center has really gone downhill since the last time we were there.
Mm. It looks like it's waiting to be a bomb shelter. Like, someone built the shelter, and they're just waiting for the disaster to happen. That's what it is.
And A Different Man did not disappoint in the fact that it was very much in line with the state of the movie theater we watched it in.
Yeah.
It was, because I'm actually... So, Jason Statham, I'm not a Jason Statham fan to the degree that our friend DK is,
mm-hmm,
where he thinks everything he touches is gold.
Mm-hmm.
But I do acknowledge the fact that these sort of like derivative drool kind of Jason Statham ladder films that he's been making have merit. Yeah.
Like
the Beekeeper is fun and silly.
Did you watch The Beekeeper?
No,
it's fucking awesome. No, it's so fun.
Yeah.
And then And then a working man comes out, and we all are going to it, and we think from the trailer that this is going to be the film about a construction worker who, doesn't have his own family, and the foreman on the construction company, his daughter gets kidnapped, and he's going to go on this, like, construction man revenge.
Like, go construction site to construction site using construction tools.
Yeah, like hitting people with 2x4s.
And like, fucking his helmet and nail guns and fucking...
It's not about that at all. No. It's like an AI wrote a script about a complicated, like, Russian mafia crime drama.
I do think a ChatGPT prompt was like, ChatGPT, can you write me a story about a guy who has a regular job, but he's also a Green Beret, and he has to fight the Russian mafia for some reason because he works for one of the good Mexicans, and... also make sure that all of the ethnically diverse people in this movie are the bad guys.
Yes, seriously.
Wait, did AI really write this movie?
I don't know, but I guarantee
there are gaps in the logic and the dialogue where, you know, like, if you've ever used ChatGPT, there's like huge gaps. You're like, wait, what the fuck does that mean? There's a lot of that.
Okay.
You know, like, for example, there'll be scenes like a character's like, we have to kill this girl right away. Like, okay, cool. And then, like, 2 days worth of shit happens, and they still haven't killed her. And then by the time they realize that they have to kill her, instead of just killing her at the nondescript location that she was already at, they take her even further away into the woods and
that's
still...
That's very convoluted, yeah.
You're like, what?
We're getting too far into it, but...
Also, the moon is, like, a regularly, like, just huge.
The moon is huge.
Like, it looks like they're standing...
Like the literal moon?
Like the moon. Like, every time...